It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and I'm so glad you tuned in for the program today. You know, I remember as a child, one of my favorite toys was called an Etch-a-Sketch. You remember that little square box? It was like the iPad for kids in the 60s, you know? Maybe you middle-aged people today, maybe you never played with one, such an ancient toy, but it was a little red and gray drawing board that was filled with sand or something like sand. It had no digital readouts. It didn't beep at you or flash. It didn't even take batteries. But you twisted these two knobs on the bottom of the screen to draw a picture. And if you messed up, all you had to do was shake the thing a couple of times and you would get a clean screen again. A chance to start all over. Wouldn't it be nice if some parts of life were like the Etch-a-Sketch? I mean, like times when you've maxed out your credit cards. Wouldn't it be great to just shake them and all the balance just go away? And you could start all over again with your bills being paid off? I know it doesn't work that way, neither does the rest of life. But one of the major themes of my ministry is to let people know that it's possible to start all over again with God, even after you've blown it, even after you've failed miserably in life and in relationships. You know, you can start all over again. God can give you a brand new start. With that in mind, let me introduce you to the concept in the Bible called Jubilee. It's found in the Old Testament, and it was introduced to Israel by God in the book of Leviticus, where he lists all the laws and all the holidays for Israel to celebrate. But this one was very special. It's found in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 7 through 9. He says, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land, whatever the land produces may be eaten. Count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpets sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land. You know, it's interesting because God gave Israel 7 holidays that they were to celebrate as they were coming into the Promised Land. 3 of them were in the spring, 3 of them were in the fall, and 1 of them was in the summer. And the spring feasts all spoke about Christ's first coming. I mean, they gave the very day he would be crucified. They gave the very day he would be resurrected from the dead. God made Israel celebrate this each and every year so they wouldn't miss Messiah. And then the middle feast was the Feast of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? The Holy Spirit fell, and the church was born on the same day that the law was given. But then the fall feasts are yet to be fulfilled in Christ's second coming. And those feasts are the Feast of Trumpets. And then on the 10th day of the 7th month is the holiest day of the year to the Jews, because it's called Yom Kippur. And on that Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, God would forgive all of Israel's sins. The priest would go in and he would do a sacrifice and God would forgive all of Israel's sins. It was like God shook the Etch-a-Sketch for Israel and their sins would be forgiven for another year. They would start all over again. Now, what makes this holiday so special is that on that day, God forgave all of their sins. You know, as Israel celebrated that Day of Atonement, that holy day of the year when God would forgive their sins, something is interesting. The year Jesus was crucified, which was 30 AD, on that particular year, he was crucified in the spring, in the time of the Passover. And what's interesting is we know the Bible says the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. It was an incredible time as God was saying, no longer am I going to forgive your sins by blood sacrifices, but now Christ is one sacrifice for all time. You have to come through Jesus to get to God. What's interesting is the Jews, along with their Bible, the Torah, they have another book called the Talmud. And the Talmud has two sections, the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian is the ancient history, and the Jerusalem Talmud was history around the time of Christ. Have you ever wondered, did the Jewish history record anything about Christ? Well, it's very interesting that in the Jerusalem Talmud, in tractate Yoma 39b, it records a story that I find so fascinating. You see, every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would tie a scarlet thread on the gate leading into the Holy of Holies when he would go in to offer the sacrifice for the sins of Israel. And when he would come out of God's presence, after giving a sacrifice and the blood given it to God, the scarlet thread will have turned white. And this happened every year, history records. But on that year that Jesus was crucified, this is what it says in the Jerusalem Talmud, tractate Yoma 39b, book, chapter, and verse. Like, it says, 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple, that would have been around AD 30, the year Christ was crucified, 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple, a strange phenomena occurred on Yom Kippur. That year, the candelabras, the menorahs, as the priests would light the candles, they kept going out. And it says this, that year, when the priest tied the scarlet thread to the gate leading to the Holy of Holies, the gates began swinging on their own accord. And then it says this, when the priest came out from offering the sacrifice, the scarlet thread remained scarlet. Now you say, what did that mean, Pastor Keith? God was saying, no longer am I going to accept sacrifices of animals and blood for your atonement of your sins, because now Christ was one sacrifice offered for all mankind that we can come to God through what Jesus did on the cross. You know, now we read in Leviticus 25 that every 50th year, the Day of Atonement was really special because when the priest blew the shofar, it would signal the year of Jubilee. The blowing of the ram's horn signaled a release of debt and the freeing of slaves. Can you imagine if we had such an event today in our society where all of a sudden they blew a horn and all your debt was wiped away? All of a sudden, they blew the horn and slaves were free. You see, friends, in some ways, the Old Testament people were not a whole lot different than we are. They were great starters, but it wasn't long until they messed things up. In that day, if an Israelite got so far in debt that he couldn't pay his creditors, he might sell his land that his ancestors had had for generations and passed down to him. And then if he still couldn't pay his debts, he would be forced to sell himself and his family into slavery in order to pay off the bills. There were no bankruptcy laws. But if you couldn't pay, you lost your property and your freedom. Pretty dismal prospects for somebody who was in debt. Now that is where the year of Jubilee came in. It was sort of like a divine etch-a-sketch. Every half century, in the year of Jubilee, all the land reverted back to the original owners. And all the slaves were freed from their masters because the law of Jubilee released them. What was so great about the year of Jubilee was it let people start over again, even when they had blown it in such a terrible way. Now there's an interesting story found in Luke chapter 4. I love the land of Israel. I've been there 31 times, and I always enjoy going to Israel. And in Luke chapter 4, there's a story about Jesus when he came to his hometown of Nazareth. The Bible says in verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed," and then it says this, "and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Don't you know? People were so shocked because in every synagogue there was a Messiah chair. And so, hoping that one day Messiah would come in and sit in that chair and announce that he has come. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus sat in the Messiah chair, but what it does say is the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him after he sat down. And then what did he say? "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." If you read the very next story, the Bible tells us they took him to the hillside to throw him off a cliff there in Nazareth. And they did that because they felt he had blasphemed, claiming to be the Messiah. And Jesus just slipped through the crowd. You see, friend, it's a quote from Isaiah 61 that refers to the Jubilee. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, you might be listening today thinking, "Wow, I wish we lived in those same times, Keith, where I could experience a year of Jubilee and get out of my debt." My friend, Jesus provided such an amazing Jubilee for us, because he shed his blood so that every sin we ever committed would be forgiven by simply trusting in him. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Friend, I want to share a couple thoughts with you before I close the program today. First of all, understand that God is a merciful God. He gives us mercy and grace. What's the difference in mercy and grace? Well, grace is when you get something you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. See, all of us are guilty of death because we've actually trespassed God's law. But God extends grace and gives us something that we don't deserve. He's a merciful God. I mean, there are so many times when you and I really have it coming, and what does God do? He reaches down with his mercy, and he bails us out. The Bible said Jesus came to preach the gospel. Good news. Notice in these two verses, there are three phrases that describe the reason the gospel is good. A release, a recovery of sight, and he said he came to set free. The captive gets his freedom back, the blind man gets his sight back, and a downtrodden man gets out from under the heel of his oppressor. Under the Old Testament system, the good news was all very literal. The land was released, the slaves were set free, and the people could see things once again as free people. But Jubilee is a prime illustration of God's mercy and kindness. And we experience an amazing Jubilee under the gospel of grace and what God did for us. I remember reading a story that really blew me away. One night in 1935, Mayor LaGuardia of New York showed up at a night court in the poorest ward of the city. The judge of that district had a reputation for being jaded, and he was harsh in his sentences. And if you went before him, you knew you were going to get the maximum sentence that law allowed. On that particular occasion, LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening, and he took over the bench himself. One case involved an elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. LaGuardia said she pleaded guilty to the crime. And then he said, "I have to punish you. $10 or 10 days in jail." Well, it was obvious she couldn't pay. As she spoke, he threw $10 into his hat. He then fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person would have to steal bread so that their grandchildren could eat. The hat was passed around, and the woman left the courtroom that day with her fine being paid and an additional $47.50 in her purse. Solely out of the goodness of his heart, the mayor helped this woman who couldn't help herself. My friend, God is rich in mercy and grace, and he loves you. Walk in grace. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to stop by the website at weneedgod.com. Let us know you're listening to the program.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.